Welcome to the DSA Shifting Perspective Podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Richard Bailey, and today I'm joined by an extraordinary lady called Sarah Roberts. Sarah writes an award-winning blog with over 40,000 followers. She has a book called For the Love of Oscar out. She's a fundraiser, a marathon runner, and she's mum to three children, including Oscar, who is seven and has Down syndrome. So hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So Oscar is your son. He's 7 years old. What can you tell us about Oscar?
I can tell you that he is just brilliant. He literally lights up our world, which sounds really cheesy. He's a big brother. He's got a brother and a sister. I love their relationship. They're thick as thieves. We chose to have Alfie and Flo. We were lucky enough to have them very quickly, which we wanted for Oscar because we wanted that support for him. But yeah, he's great. He's just like any other kid his age in that he loves football. He loves being out and about. We go on walks together as family. We've all just started going on bike rides together, which is quite stressful, but equally quite fun. Yeah, he's just in so many ways a typical little boy, a seven-year-old who likes to get muddy and has got lots of friends at school. And yeah, he's just loved, and not just by our community online, but also by, you know, our community in our village where we live in quite a small village. Everyone knows who Oscar is, maybe for the wrong reasons sometimes. But yeah, he's just great. He's brilliant.
And I know our listeners would love to hear about your blog and your book and about going from couch to 5K to marathon in a matter of months, but also, of course, about Oscar. But perhaps we could start off with you telling us a little bit about your blog. It's called Don't Be Sorry, and why you started it back in 2014. And why is it called Don't Be Sorry?
So it's called Don't Be Sorry because when I had Oscar, the first thing the paediatrician said to me when she was delivering the diagnosis was, you know, I'm so sorry to tell you this. I felt she was projecting to me that this would have been the worst news imaginable to her. And, you know, as time went on and after a few months of having Oscar and loving Oscar, I realised, you know, there's actually nothing to be sorry about. And I was hearing more and more, you know, through the support group that I was attending with Oscar, you know, the same sort of story. Lots of people were saying to me that everyone who was delivering the diagnosis, whether it was a pre-diagnosis, antenatal, postnatal, lots of people were apologising for it. And I just felt really passionate about the fact that, you know, there wasn't anything to be sorry about. So I started it mostly because I just had this burning desire to write stuff down. I just kind of needed to get things off my chest. And a friend of mine, we were on holiday in Switzerland, and she was an educational psychologist. I had Chris there as well, and Oscar, who was, I think he was about 7 months at the time. And I said to her, you know, I've been reading other blogs and they're great, but I just feel that, you know, some of them are a bit sugary sweet and a bit kind of twee, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I kind of want to be honest and show, you know, the great bits, which are so important, but then also the bits where perhaps things are a little bit more difficult sometimes. And she said some of the best talks that she'd been to in her career had been given by parents. So that kind of gave me this kind of hope that hopefully it wouldn't just appeal to parents, but also it would appeal to professionals kind of wanting to see things from our side. I think initially the appeal was that Oscar was this kind of cute little baby, and, you know, he was blonde, he's blue eyes, he's, you know, everyone fell in love with him, I guess, initially. But now he's seven, and I suppose he's still really cute, I think. But I guess, you know, we're sharing the ups and downs. So I'm not always talking about the amazing bits of life. I'm talking about, you know, the bits where he's being difficult. But I hope and I think people are sticking around because it is real, and I'm not sugarcoating anything. I'm just speaking from the heart. And I guess new people, perhaps who don't even have a child with Down syndrome, but they're just literally Joe Blogs off the street and are kind of perusing Facebook or Instagram, I think they just like it because they're learning something new about something they don't know very much about. But I kind of feel I'm really passionate about what I'm writing about, so it doesn't ever feel like a chore. And the minute it does, I would stop. Or if I haven't got anything I feel's interesting to say, I don't just post for the sake of it. So some weeks I might post every day, but other weeks I might go quiet for a bit. And then people are like, where are you? What's happened?
Well, it's clearly valuable for so many people, you know, for new parents and you know, for the wider community as well. And how do you maintain that readership but also protect the privacy of your family life?
Yeah, I definitely do. It's something that I'm really cautious of. And I know that lots of people don't always agree with sharing their children online. The one thing that I hold close to my heart is that I do it because I want to share our experience, but I want to help other people and raise awareness. So I'm really conscious of that, that that's the reason I'm doing it with Oscar. I am suddenly really conscious that my other two are growing up and they might not want me to talk about them quite as much as I do. I'm really careful about not sharing, you know, where they go to school or anything that might kind of show where we are, I suppose. But yeah, the minute any three of them say, stop, we don't want you to do this, I would stop tomorrow, you know.
And I mean, the blog and your Facebook page is a big support for many people. Do you think there's still enough support out there for new mums and families?
I do. I definitely think there's a support there. I just think it's a question of, are people being pointed in the right direction? You know, I spoke about that paediatrician giving us the news. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel at any point anybody in that hospital said to me, you know, don't panic. We're going to give you, you know, some leaflets for the DSA. We're going to give you your local charity. Any information on that? I felt like I was really on my own, you know, obviously with my husband, Chris, but it was me who had to go out and find it. It was me who had to go online. And I just think it's about education and kind of getting the medical professionals on board as well and kind of getting behind, making sure that if people are in a situation where they find that they've got either a pre or postnatal diagnosis, that they know where to go. There's so much, but it's just, you know, are people in a position when they've just given birth, you know, to find it?
There's all of those things, and there's also a book out because you've just written a book about your experiences for the love of Oscar. Can you tell me more about the book and why you decided to write it?
Yeah, I decided to write it, well, I've always dreamed of writing a book since I had him, I suppose, just again to get things out there. And I just wanted to kind of share our story. I've said, you know, I want people to understand that this is just our story. So it's not, you know, I'm not speaking on behalf of the whole community here because that would be wrong because we all share different thoughts on the subject. But I wanted to share our story because I thought it was important to be honest. And if it helps somebody else who is new on this journey, then, you know, that it would be out there for them. I've also included blog comments from my readers. So when I've spoken about the diagnosis or Oscar's heart surgery or going on to have other children, which again was quite a big thing for me after having Oscar, I've shared our experiences, but then I've shared what they've said as well. So it's not just one-sided. I don't want people to think, oh gosh, she's just going on about herself the whole time. So hopefully there's a bit of balance in there as well.
So you're thinking of moving Oscar from his mainstream school to a special educational needs placement next year. I was just wondering why you're considering this move for Oscar. You know, is it a difficult decision to make?
Yeah, I think it's a massive decision to make for any parent. Choosing a school for any child, regardless of whether they have Down syndrome or not, is huge. He's currently at an infant school, which is amazing. It's inclusive. He's doing well. He's got friends. The academic side, I guess, he's not doing as well. And this isn't me comparing him to his mainstream peers, but I'm thinking about him in comparison to other children his age who have Down syndrome, you know. He has limited speech, and I'm really conscious of, you know, moving up to the next school, which would be a junior school, and worrying about, you know, whether he can maintain those friendships. And I kind of feel if he had a bit more speech, would that give him a bit more of an advantage? I don't know. One thing I'll say is Chris and I have looked around a heap of schools, you know, and our local junior school, although I'm told it's a great school, I just can't see him there. And I've always said, you know, let's look at the school for Oscar as opposed to, you know, let's just put him in a school that, you know, would be the natural progression. And actually our infant school that he's in at the moment have said, you know, if our school went up to year six, we would have him, we'd keep him, he'd be brilliant. But she did say, you know, this is the Senko that we spoke to, she did say it is a big leap, I guess, to go to the next junior school. And yeah, it's not a decision we've taken lightly. I'm still kind of on the fence. We've applied to a specialist school, but equally, you know, there is a mainstream school as well, fairly close to us, that potentially could be another option. But I think you've got to think about the child as opposed to what would be the next natural step.
So this is clearly quite a, you know, big decision to make. And are you getting any advice or support for this?
Yeah, so obviously our school has a massive input in, you know, that they're very balanced. They're not trying to say either way that Oscar should go this way or go that way, but they're giving feedback on how he's doing. We've had an educational psychologist come in to assess him, and again, she was very kind of like, it's your decision. We also, at the moment, we've just appointed an outreach worker who's local to our area who goes into school, and she's going to have a look and just see how he's getting on and write a report for us to see how, you know, he's working in the class setting and how he's integrated into the schoolwork that they're all doing, how he's working with his TAs and how much time he's spending in the classroom versus how much time he's spending outside. Because, you know, as a parent, you don't know. You just kind of hope that they are included. And that's what I think, you know, I really want to make sure that Oscar's feeling like he has a purpose, that he's valued. And if he's being constantly taken out of a classroom, then that isn't right for any child, is it? It's all about inclusion and integration. So yeah, there's quite a lot of input. And then obviously the schools that we're looking at, the one we'd like him to go to, if we do go down the specialist route, they've been really great with advice. So, and then just friends who've been through it in the community, you know, as I mentioned, my educational psychologist friend, she's great as well. And from blog readers. Obviously, there's the DSA, which, you know, as I've said, from the get-go have been a huge, huge support to us, you know, from the moment the leaflet dropped on our doorstep, you know, and just all the information. They're always there as a constant support. There's information officers that you can call and, you know, the website that I referred back to, you know, all the time. They're always there. So it's been brilliant, really, just having them on the other end of the email or phone if I've needed to speak to them.
And what are your hopes for Oscar as he moves through school and into adulthood? And that's a tricky question, that one, because we're always looking ahead, aren't we?
I know. And it's scary sometimes, the future, isn't it? But they're the same hopes I have for Alfie and Flo, my other two children, that they are, you know, that he's happy, that he's feels valued and has self-worth. I'd love for him to have a job. I'd love for him to have a partner. I'd love for him to be able to live independently. But at the same time, if he can't manage that, I'm equally just as happy for him to live with us. Chris, my husband, always says, you know, I'd love him to live with us, Sarah. He could, you know, we could go down the pub. And I think he's got all these dreams about him and Oscar going to the pub and leaving me at home. But yeah, I just want him to be happy. And, you know, yes, the curriculum is so important. You know, life skills are also important as well. So, yeah, I think whatever makes him happy.
Perfectly put. I think that's it, isn't it? It's whatever makes your child happy. And that's what you've got to work towards. So that's a wonderful answer. But so on top of all this, you've got your busy life, mum of three. You've got the blog and writing books. And you also trained for your first ever marathon.
I did.
Yeah, incredible. And you've said yourself that you're not a natural runner, but in 6 months, you trained from not being a runner to being able to run 26.2 miles. So, you know, why did you decide to do it? How did you do it? And why did you choose to run for the Down Syndrome Association?
I decided to do it because I used to be a professional dancer. You wouldn't know it now because I'm three kids on and like cake a lot. but I felt like my fitness was really bad. I felt like mental health wise, I could do with kind of getting out there and do some exercise. So I started the Couch to 5K, and it was sort of around this time last year when everyone was talking about the marathon and ballot places and everything, that I thought, maybe if I give myself a goal. And I knew that I had the platform of the blog, and I knew that I had the support of these 40,000 people who are amazing and so supportive with anything that I do. And I thought, actually, there is something in this. Maybe I could ask for their support in sponsorship. I think the fact, people always say, how did you manage it? But I think the fact that I told people I was doing it in October last year kind of made me go, well, I've told all these people now, so I've got to keep going. And so I was really lucky. At the time, I had two children in school, and then Flo was in preschool. I had 3 days a week that I had childcare. So those three mornings, dropped them off at school and preschool, and I'd always go out, and I just increased the mileage and managed it. I don't know how. Not very fast, but I did get round.
Brilliant. What, can I ask what time you did it in?
5.5 hours.
Well, great.
I really think I could have done it in 5, but I think, that last bit was hideous.
So what was it like? I mean, what was the actual marathon like? Because it's something that I've always wanted to do. And I've been supported friends and what have you. But how did you find it actually going around the route there?
I think on the day, I did really enjoy it. I think the last bit of training leading up to it was not that great. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? I think, you know, you go over Tower Bridge, and at that point I was thinking, you know, what's everyone talking about? This is fine. I've totally got this nailed. And then I got over the bridge and you kind of head back into Canary Wharf. And then I was like, oh goodness, this is bleak. And I am not very good. And then I could see all these people around me kind of, you know, some of them zooming off and some of them collapsing and being sick. And I thought, oh gosh. But it is amazing. It's a euphoric experience. The crowd are incredible. And people would say that to me before, and I thought, what are you talking about? But, you know, young girls who were there with their Prosecco and drinking on the side of the street going, you know, yeah, go on, Sarah. They're shouting, go on, Sarah, because you've got it on your top. And I'm thinking, I'd rather be with you drinking Prosecco personally. But, yeah, no, people are amazing. So I think that helps, just having that support, obviously.
And it's really an emotional day, actually, because, as I say, I've been down there supporting people, and I've just been hoarse at the end of the day from cheering everybody on.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And at the end of the run, you raised lots of money.
Yes.
How much did you make?
I think it was about 7,500, or just under, maybe. Yeah.
That's incredible. Absolutely amazing. I mean, how did that make you feel?
That was the best. That was the best part of it, to be honest. That's the reason I wanted to do it as well, to kind of give something back to the DSA and, I guess, the community. And, yeah, just to say that we managed to raise all that money is brilliant. And I, you know, I'm not crediting me for it. I think it's because people love Oscar and our story, and that's why they wanted to give so generously.
And would you do it again?
Not if you paid me all the money in the world. I'm really sorry. I said it online the other day. I was like, I love you guys. I love the DSA so much, but honestly, no, someone else can do it next time.
So we've come to an end now. So thank you so much, Sarah. It's been a real treat to spend time with you and to hear about all the fabulous things that you're doing to support new parents, for your writing and fundraising. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, we're so very fortunate that we've got people like you who are out there doing great things for our children, but also for the wider community. If you would like to know more about Sarah, you can visit her blog, which is...
It's www.don'tbesorry.net.
Perfect. Or you can visit Sarah's Facebook page, which is also Don't Be Sorry. But more importantly, you can run out right now to your nearest bookseller and order a copy or two of For the Love of Oscar.
Yes, please do. That would be really kind.
Brilliant. So thank you so much, Sarah, for coming in.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
My name is Richard Bailey, and please do listen out for more Shifting Perspective podcasts, which you can see at the Down Syndrome Association website.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the DSA Shifting Perspective podcast. You can find more of our podcast via the DSA website or at Spotify and Audio Boom and Apple Podcast and other podcast platforms. Please subscribe and tell your friends about us. Thank you very much for listening.